listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
What can you do with a woman under 30? It's true she has a certain freshness, like a green apple. But how raw, unformed, without the mellowness of maturity? What can you talk about with a young woman? That is, if she gives you a chance to talk. As she talks and talks and talks about herself. Herself is the most important object in the universe. She lacks the experience of intimate, sensitive silences. Why don't young women learn how to make love? They attack with the subtlety of a bull and moan and sigh with the ardor of a puppy. Panting, they pursue their own pleasures, forgetting to please their partner, as an older woman does. It's only just that young women get what they deserve. A young man. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen. I was about to be mad. I was like, what the hell is this? What King Hotep Tut third power degree dude wrote this foolishness?
That's Dudley Randall, and it's hilarious. Anyway, we're live on Tuesday. You thought he was gonna try to say women ain't shitting, men just gotta deal with them, huh? Swerve. Aren't they worse than a young woman is a young man? Oh man.
Yeah, but anyway, that is true.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. I mean, because if you're older, I understand that kind of perspective. Mm-hmm. But shit, it's older people to talk about themselves. It ain't, and the whole world revolves around them, and I'm not hating either.
So it's Tuesday and we're gonna do some podcasting.
We are, and I know I can talk about myself all damn day if you're letting me. So
okay, all right, young woman,
I know.
But you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search The Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And let's just get right into podcasting, guys. Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on. Let's see here. Ashamed of Fox News contributor quits. He blasts propaganda machine. He's fed up, Aaron. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters is leaving the cable news network after a long time association.
Upset with white supremacy.
He's a retired U.S. Army officer, Ralph Peters. He blasted Fox News in an email to colleagues explaining his decision earlier this month to not renew his contract with the network as a strategic analyst. 4 decades ago, I took an oath as a newly commissioned officer, he said. Swore to support and defend the Constitution, and that oath did not expire when I took off the uniform. Today, I feel that Fox News is assaulting our constitutional order and the rule of law while fostering corrosive and unjustified paranoia among viewers. Over my decade with Fox, I long was proud of the association. Now I am ashamed. In my view, Fox is degenerated from providing a legitimate and much needed outlet for conservative voices to mere propaganda machine for a destructive and ethically ruinous administration. Ralph Peters, according to Fox News, that statement was, Ralph Peters is entitled to his opinion, despite the fact that he's choosing to use it as a weapon in order to gain attention. We are extremely proud of our top rated primetime host and all our opinion programming. A weapon to gain attention. That was quick. Keep in mind, they offered him a contract. He could have renewed it. He chose not to. And so they wanted him on their show to use his opinion as a weapon to gain attention. But they don't like it when it's against them. At any rate, this is basically white on white violence, and I don't care.
Nope.
You know, is it possible to pick a side when both sides are terrible? You know. Also, I want to know why you took a check for 10 years and that just now realizing that it's only Trump that has made Fox News the propaganda machine. So what was it before then? It wasn't always the same propaganda machine. It wasn't always trotting out fake ass news. For 8 years when it was Obama, it was cool. Okay, buddy. Twitter found the name and history of a trailblazing black female scientist. And they found it from a picture.
Oh shit.
Now here's the interesting thing about this picture. I'll see if I can put it on screen. Everyone in the picture is white except for her. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else in the picture had a name except for her.
Wow.
Right. Well, sound kind of racist to me. You know, of course, being Women's History Month, fresh off of Black History Month, I mean, you would think it was kind of important to know who this black woman was, right? Candace Jean Anderson came across a photo of a group of people at the 1971 science conference in Virginia. She noticed that the only person who was unidentified in the caption was a black woman. Curious to know who the trailblazer was, she took to Twitter to ask for help in her search in an attempt to unearth what turned out to be another hidden figure story. Our history is all around us. All around us. And it's right there. And I'll never get tired of these stories. Right, give her a movie too. Let's go see it.
Come on,
let's get some cosplay going. So she said, "Hey Twitter, I'm on a mission." The woman in this photo was an attendee at the 1971 International Conference on Biology of Whales. She is the only woman and the only one captioned not identified in the article. I found a photo in All Men Are Named. Can you help me know her? Mm. So of course
they take old cases too.
I think we got our first spinoff show.
Yes,
Black Twitter CSI Cold Case Files.
Yes, Cold Case. Cold Case. Ace. Come on. We can find them deadbeat baby daddies. Give us the pictures.
Oh my God. Anderson,
people gonna be scared shaking in their boots now. You better burn that goddamn Polaroid.
Anderson's plea was met by more than 11,000 people who chimed in to help identify the only female at the science conference. She tells Yahoo Lifestyle, "It was a beautiful how the complete strangers came together using their time to jump in and help just because they wanted to," she says. "Asking colleagues, digging through archives, passing the word until the mystery was solved. It was really great. Thanks to so much for all the retweets, everybody. Here's a close-up of the mystery woman. Unfortunately, mostly blocked by the camera." Can y'all see this picture? They found her from this.
No, we don't see it
yet. Oh, y'all can't see the picture? All right, give me a second. Hold on. Oh, it went off screen. No wonder. Give me 1 second, guys. Yo, y'all, she is a white dude is literally covering half her fucking face in the picture. He's just standing right in front of her.
What? They found her from that?
They found her from that. And that was from this. This big ass picture right here. You can see this little blip of a black woman right here.
Holy shit.
And they found her. They zoomed in. Enhanced.
Come on. Enhanced again.
Zoomed in. Enhanced one more time. And they found her.
Come on. They was like, "Oh, we're going to have to send this to the new division."
Mm-hmm. Send this to the Cold Case Files. Get right on it.
Mm-hmm.
The conference is June 1971 in Virginia with participants from 10 countries. She's the only woman listed as not identified. After several tips from across the web, Anderson was able to track down a coordinator of the science conference named Suzanne Contos, who decided to do a little digging of her own to help find out who the mystery woman was. Suzanne, who helped coordinate the 1971 conference and aided in many ways surrounding the event, agreed to take a look at our picture to see if she can remember who this woman was. Massive thanks to @TheMediaWitch for reaching out to Suzanne. Suzanne reached out to other attendees, some of whom were able to identify her and provide a name. @AllenZipHayid72 reached out to Don Wilson, curator emeritus of mammals at the Smithsonian. Don agreed with what Bob had written. Her name is Sheila Jones.
Come on, Sheila Jones, we done found you.
Come on, Sheila Jones. Welcome to the annals of history as you always belong.
Come on. Mm-mm-mm.
But that's not all. Her name is Sheila Jones, maiden name Minor. She worked as a collections technician and mammals with FWS. They found all this out?
They be on the case, dog.
They were able to put a name to a half-covered face, Sheila Jones, that claimed the mystery woman had been an administrator and most likely not even officially invited to the conference. Yep, but Anderson was not satisfied with the answer based on speculations, and neither was the Twitterverse. If Twitter had come so far to track down other attendees, coordinators, concrete, and factual information on Jones had to be out there, and it was.
And it was!
Suzanne Canto thinks we hit a dead end. Bob and Don think the mystery's name, woman's name is likely Sheila Minor. What do you think, Twitter? Do we assume she's Sheila? Do you think the photo was a quick snapshot and she just happened to be there? I wonder where all her papers are. Did she significantly contribute to the conference? If she worked for Fish and Wildlife Services, then I wonder what she's doing now. That's when two workers from the Smithsonian reached out to Anderson. They did an archival search in which they were able to identify with certainty that the mystery woman was not just an administrator or uninvited person, but a actual scientist.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Black Twitter CSI up in the goddamn Smithsonian. Don't tell me what we won't do.
Clyde Jones was listed. Remember, he's the guy our new friend Bob said was Sheila's boss. Rest in peace, Clyde. Also, SI found receipts for Skyland Lodge, the hotel conference attendee stayed at. Clyde again. I went back to our original photo and found Clyde standing there. Dope. Guess who else Smithsonian ladies found a receipt for from Skyland Lodge at the time of the conference? Ahem. Miss Sheila M. Jones. But that's not even the big thing I mentioned before, guys. I have more. Just hang on. Be right back. By the way, she has literal copies of the receipts.
Wow. Shout out to the Smithsonian.
Shout out to Black Twitter. Literal receipts, nigga. Literal, like literal receipts. Oh my God. She was a biological research technician for the Smithsonian Institution in at least 1972 and 73, a position which required a BS or a MA degree. So she wasn't just somebody's accounts receivable
person that randomly floated in there and took a picture with all these goddamn scientists.
Right. As if white people in 1971 was just letting black people wander in and take random pictures when they're all getting acclaimed, at recognition. And they also had the nerve, unidentified person. Don't that just sound like some 1971? Don't even ask that nigga her name. Shit. Right. Right. She was the mystery woman, no longer a mystery, was Sheila M. Jones. Her maiden name was Sheila D. Minor. Anderson contacted her. She seemed excited at first that I found her and excited to see that picture. Anderson says, she participated in a two island study of the mammals inhabiting popular islands in 1973 and 1974 and presented her findings at the 55th annual American Society of Mammalogists meeting in 1975.
Come
this
on.
Included her belief of natural extinctions of some species on the islands. She presented, y'all.
Presented, dog.
They had her unidentified. Maybe she was administrative or just walked in uninvited. Jones gave her details of her life as a scientist and told her that in fact she had a bachelor of science degree in biology at the time of the conference. She typed up several memorandums with ideas for enriching educational visits, presentations, lectures, and field trips for children. Like, can I get the real Miss Fries, she put. She was appointed to the Smithsonian Women's Council. She was a member of American Society of Mammalogists. All this is still just years between 1972 and 75. She also put a gif of Okoye, you know, that Wakanda Forever. the wink. It's the wink gif. Okay. Jones also told Anderson about the path her career subsequently took. She later pursued environmental science and received an MS from George Mason University. She worked for several federal agencies in a 35-year career and retired to GS-14 from the Office of Environmental Policy and Compliance, the U.S. Department of Interior, Washington, D.C. Sheila is wicked smart, babe. I'm so happy we found her together. Twitter. Mm-hmm. Those following the story were overjoyed that I found Jones and learned about her life as a trailblazer black woman scientist dating back to the 70s. Mm-hmm. Well, you know who I gotta give all the credit to. Like told the CSI cold case division was on it.
Cold case was on it.
Was all up on it. My God. My God. Amazing.
See, that done got so big, they got divisions now.
Right? From a half a face.
That's all we need, dog.
I was like, is that a black one? I would look at that picture 100 times and never know there was a black person in it.
Especially the
first black and white.
Right, and especially the first one is so wide and it has so many people in it.
Right. Just sitting in there being brilliant as fuck, not getting no credit.
Is that a black woman I see?
God damn. Jay-Z's Roc Nation announces investment into anti-incarceration program.
Wonderful.
Roc Nation has been announced as a backer of Promise, a new technology and community supervision program aimed at reducing prison populations across the United States. Promise will be unveiled at the Y Combinator Demo Day on March 20th to its creators Phaedra Ellis Lampkins and Diana Frappier, or maybe Frappier. Promise hopes to create a cost-effective and more humane alternative to incarceration, according to a press release. The process begins with the financial assistance for those who cannot afford bail, then evolves into an individually tailored program to help each client fulfill their court-mandated obligations like court appearances and drug testing. Promise will utilize a smartphone app to track participation and important dates via an intelligent calendar, and will also offer in-person support and counseling for job training, counseling, and more.
Come on, give people the support that they need, because a lot of brown people that get arrested, this is probably open up to everybody, but a lot of brown people that get arrested and put into, they don't have the resources nor the money to afford to do these things, and they don't have the privilege of having support groups a lot of times, and that makes a whole hell of a lot of difference.
And I'm gonna do something I rarely do, but I have to extend this to poor people.
Correct.
Like, you know, because we're not the only, you know, black and brown people are not the only people affected by this economy, and prison has mostly become about attacking the poor. I think
the poor,
obviously is racially related. Duh, I'm not stupid, but there's a lot of people caught up in the system because they just don't have the money.
Correct.
And the average American ain't doing that fucking good to have the money. You know, like white people, like there's a lot of poor white people that ain't got the money too.
Right.
A lot of poor Latinx people, they don't have the money either. And that's all justice comes down to, if you have the money and the resources. Your fucking court appointed defenders, lawyers are not, they're overworked, they're used to just pleading down, they're just walking in every day and being like, look, plead guilty to this shit and we'll get you out of here in 60 days or whatever the fuck, as opposed to, you didn't do this and let's try to get you justice. This shit ain't Pelican Brief, okay? This is some real shit. So I think that's dope, and as with all great ideas, a little bit of money ain't never hurt
nobody. And
so I'm glad to see Jay-Z and Roc Nation getting involved in sponsoring and funding this.
Right. And it is good to see this money go to this purpose, like you said, poor people. And that's why a lot of people in a lot of states are actually fighting against bails. Like, they was like, this shit should be eradicated. Like, you should erase people having to pay to get out of jail, because people are locked up in jail for $50, $100, $200. They can't pay that, so you're in jail.
And you get fines and all kinds of stuff. You lose your job. The other part of this I would throw, well, two more things. One, it's cool to see Jay-Z in his older age, quote unquote, waking up. I celebrate progress wherever it happens, period.
Correct.
You know, too many people act like it's a competition or a race. I was here when I was 30. Well, good for you, motherfucker. Everybody's life ain't the same. Everybody ain't come from Marcy Projects. Everybody ain't had to sell drugs. Everybody hasn't made the same pitfalls and all that shit, you know, but unworking that shit is a major achievement in everybody's life, and especially when you have the resources to reach out and do more with what you have. It's really beautiful to see Jay-Z do this kind of stuff. It's inspirational. And it's not lost on me that being surrounded by a very pro-black Beyonce activated this nigga. You know what I mean? I think a lot of men are activated by the proximity to black women, whether, you know, people want to admit that or not. So that was one of the things. And the second thing was, and let me go back to what I was saying. When I talk about prison, when we talk about incarceration, anytime you talk about trying to end mass incarceration, trying to end these bail for profit things, all this stuff, you do realize you are talking about black people. So whether you know, this is as close as you get to certain type of things where you just directly want to benefit the black community.
Correct.
This doesn't mean that there'll be no white people benefit. Obviously there's poor white people, there's white people in jail, there's all kinds of shit,
right?
Latinx people will be
percentage-wise, we're more,
you know, a lot of the quote-unquote misfits of society end up in jail because we don't know what to do. Mental health will people, there's right. a lot of people who will be benefited, homeless people, a mm-hmm. lot of people will be benefited via this type of program. But first and foremost, understand this helps black people, because when it was Obama doing shit like this, I would randomly hear black people say shit like, well, he ain't done nothing to help black people. And it was so, one, uninformed, two, obtuse, and at best salacious to say something inflammatory like that. These prison initiatives, these pardons, these sentence lowering things, they are for black people. Now I know you want the nigga to come out and just be like, for black people, but that's the fucking truth. It's for right. black people, and it's as much of a wink wink nod nod understanding as you can get. And if you do any amount of research, you will see all these black and brown faces and be like, I'm so glad these motherfuckers are out of jail, because they ain't doing nobody any good in prison, period. Right. Except for the people making a profit off of inmates, that's it. So yeah, smarten up. But yeah, shout out to Jay, man. He's out here trying to help. We are increasingly alarmed by the injustice in our criminal justice system, Sean Jay-Z Carter said in a statement. Money, time, and lives are wasted with the current policies. It's time for innovative and progressive technology to offer sustainable solutions to tough problems. Promise's team, led by Phaedra, is building an app that can help provide liberty and justice for all to millions. So good luck. It doesn't have a public release date yet. But with this investment, Roc Nation joins other companies like Y Combinator, Kapoor Capital, and ABC. Yeah, man, that's dope. And it's gonna take people working from outside the system like that to help, because it's not gonna happen from within the system in the next 4 to 8 years.
Nope.
So a judge blocks a Mississippi law that would ban abortions after 15 weeks. Mississippi passed the most restrictive abortion law in the United States today, and then within an hour a judge blocked it for up to 10 days, I believe.
That's that bullshit we were talking about yesterday, how they caught them on to lower it and lower it and lower it and lower. You're like, you can't do this.
Yeah, you have to fight it because of this. A U.S. federal judge on Tuesday temporarily blocked the Mississippi law that enacted the tightest restrictions on abortion in the United States in a ruling handed down a day after the governor signed the measure. The Mississippi law would prohibit abortion after 15 weeks of gestation, with some exceptions. It went into effect immediately after Republican Governor Phil Bryant signed it on Monday. State law previously banned abortion at 20 weeks after conception, in line with the limits of 17 other states. The judge's ruling blocks the measure for 10 days while he considers arguments on whether to stop the law from taking effect until the outcome of a full legal challenge. The Supreme Court says every woman has a constitutional right to personal privacy regarding her body. The U.S. District Court Judge Carlton Reeves in Jackson, Mississippi, said in a 2-page ruling that quoted from the High Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling that legalized abortion. The judge said a stay was justified because of Mississippi's law's proposed 15-week limit is outside of the medical consensus about when the fetus becomes vital, raising questions about whether it violates the U.S. Constitution. Abortion rights groups say anti-abortion organizations could use the case to test limits on abortion all the way to the Supreme Court.
Right.
The court in the past has struck down prohibitions on abortion before fetal viability, usually considered to be about 20 weeks of gestation. The Jackson Women's Health Organization, the only clinic providing abortions in Mississippi, sued to block the measure on Monday. That's right. Effectively, this would ban abortion for a lot of people, just like the defunding of Planned Parenthood and stuff, and the way that they changed a lot to restrict who can provide abortions for women. So you have stuff where it's like, oh yeah, one center can do it in the entire fucking state, and how you supposed to get there, and if you know you're pregnant within 15 weeks, which you may or may not know.
Right.
You might think you just missed a period, you know, something like that. Oh, I missed my period, I don't know what's going on. And then blat out, you pregnant, and you gotta come, you know, what you gonna do? Not to mention, you might need that time to raise the money. you know, travel expenses, all this shit, you know. So in 2016, the Supreme Court refused to uphold an Arkansas law that banned abortion after 12 weeks gestation, as well as North Dakota's 6-week law. So they just keep trying. This is just another person trying. Mississippi governor called the judge's ruling on Tuesday disappointing.
6 weeks, that's crazy.
Right. But that's their way around it. Like, we can't get the abortion law overturned, but we'll just keep changing the restrictions. Authorities say the brother of a shooting suspect was arrested at school. Authorities say the brother of the teen charged with killing 17 people at a Florida school has been arrested for trespassing at the same school. Why? A Broward Sheriff's Office report says 18-year-old Zachary Cruz was arrested Monday afternoon at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and charged with trespassing. The report says the teen was found riding his skateboard at the school, though he had received prior warnings from school officials to stay away from campus. The report adds that Zachary Cruz told the arresting deputy he was there to reflect on the school shooting and soak it in. His 19-year-old brother, Nicholas Cruz, faces 17 first-degree murder charges in connection with the February 14th shooting. Jail records didn't immediately list an attorney for Zachary Cruz.
You get the fuck away from here. You done graduated. Why are you here?
Right. After your brother shot up the school. For what point?
You don't think that's going to be triggering to somebody?
To what point? I just wanted to soak it in. For what?
To intimidate the students, scare them.
Apples and trees, dog. What's up with siblings of shooters these days? It was Dylan Roof's sister yesterday, and now this nigga. Let's see what else happened. An army vet who gave up his AR-15s in a viral Facebook video, he's threatened with death and rape of his 14-year-old daughter, because that's reasonable. I don't understand, what is it about these gun people? What is it about them? You know, hey, I personally don't want to give up, I don't want to have an AR-15. Well, nigga, I'm gonna have to threaten to kill you and rape your daughter, because that's like the only counterpoint to what you just did. That seemed like a reasonable thing to say to me.
Right.
A veteran of the U.S. Army who became a viral sensation over the weekend by posting pictures of himself trading in his AR-15s and the Miami police officers is being deluged with death threats. He says the unhinged pro-gun supporters also threatening to rape his 14-year-old daughter. On Saturday, Steve Hermit of Miami shared a picture of himself turning over his weapons as part of a local police department buyback program. Writing on a Facebook post, "With some hesitation born of nostalgia, I turned into AR-style rifles to the Miami Police Department as part of their gun buyback program today. As a former U.S. Army infantry officer, I have always considered myself a responsible gun owner. My 14-year-old daughter and I built one of the ARs from scratch together."
Shit.
Yeah, that's why all these don't sell guns shit is kind of like, if you can build one from scratch.
Something I didn't even think about.
"But after the events of last month, I decided enough is enough. How can we as parents force our kids to live in a world where they have to be afraid of being killed at school? My daughter recently told me that her plan is to only wear sneakers to school from now on in case she needs them to run.
Right.
And I realized that, unlike some of my neighbors, I'm lucky to still have a 14-year-old daughter." Speaking with Newsweek, Hermit said that while he received a flood of praise for his decision, that he and his daughter are now on the receiving end of deeply disturbing death and rape threats. "I hope someone breaks into your house and rapes your daughter," wrote one person on Facebook, according to screenshots provided by Hammett. "While she is being raped, I hope she looks up and says, 'Daddy, where's the gun we built? Where?'" That's a reasonable retort to this man getting rid of the guns for his family.
And I have a question.
Yeah.
Oh, is Facebook banning this person, suspending their account?
Well, Karen, I did report the comment to Facebook, and they said it doesn't violate their community standards.
I know they did.
According to the veteran, he also received death threats from Second Amendment supporters who say they are going to shoot his dog, and that someone has been harassing his girlfriend by calling her cell phone. "There have been a substantial negative, very ugly response. The thing that I've learned over the past 3 days is there are a lot of unhinged people who own AR-15s, and I'm convinced now more than ever those people really should not be trusted with anything more dangerous than a butter knife."
Come on.
Yeah, like, is this your way of convincing him he's wrong?
Because you're doing a terrible job.
Right? Like, is that what you're thinking? Oh, yeah, surely he'll know now. This nigga wrong. Oh, okay, y'all gonna kill and rape my daughter. Well, I better get my guns back. It's the only way to protect myself from people like you. I gotta have guns to protect myself from the guns, and I buy my guns from guns. Fuck out of here. Let's see what else. 14 signs of emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. From controlling your clothes to making you feel guilty. Therapist reveals the subtle red flags and how to protect yourself.
There's a lot of them out there, and a lot of people don't know the signs, and you have a lot of people who have never been in emotionally abusive relationships, and a lot of times emotional abuse, most times, not all times, turns into some form of physical abuse. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the person doing it is a man, and the receiving person in most instances is a woman. There are exceptions to that, you know, same sex and all that. Is I'm not talking about those type of relationships. And it happens in those relationships, but I'm most likely preferring to a straight relationship. And it's a lot of times people judge, and they're judging from a place of privilege, especially if you've never been in the situation where you've been manipulated like that. And a lot of people, well, how could you do that? And it's like slowly chipping a rock. And after a while, you chip out a rock long enough, it's going to have cracks, it's going to crumble, it's going to, you know, have little pieces fall off of it. And that's what eventually happens to before you know what the person who used to be there isn't there anymore.
Well, let's talk about some of these red flags, man. Maybe it could help some people.
Mm-hmm, you know? I hope so.
Domestic abusers are more likely to be sent to jail in the future due to changes sentencing guidelines in the UK. This is from the UK. Campaigners have hailed for the tougher punishments as a major step forward. From May this year, courts will be told to take domestic offenses in the home more seriously than similar offenses that take place elsewhere, because they represent a violation of trust and security normally associated with intimate and family relationships. Man, I wish we had something like that.
Yeah, because a lot of people just seem like, well, it happened in your house. Well, protect people.
Well, it's also like a lot of it was kind of both of y'all type thinking, and is it a fight or is it, you know, whatever? Where it's like, well, this is in someone's house, and we also know that it's a predictor of violence outside the house as well. So, you know, yeah, might want to look into that with a little more seriousness.
Might be more than a one-off brawl they had.
Matter of fact, let's just get straight to the things. Number one, you are mocked. Your other half loves to tell funny stories at your expense, whether it's how hopeless you are at managing money, driving, being organized, or how you always overdo it and make a fool of yourself at social events. If you object, you're accused of having no sense of humor, being overly sensitive. You start to wonder if the digs and jives really are just teasing or if you're missing the joke. Easy way to tell when your partner makes one of these jokes in public: does anyone laugh or is there an uncomfortable silence? If a joke makes others uncomfortable, your partner is telling it to undermine you. Yeah, I think people, I've seen people kind of do that shit too, where it's like they shit on their mate all the time. It's some form of like whatever, and I'm like, it's just like you controlling them or something, because it's not even really funny. It's just, let me tell you how this motherfucker ain't shit. You're like, all right.
Yeah, and I've been in groups of men where they'll start doing that, and they look at me, I'm like, I don't know what you're looking at me for, because I'm not telling you shit. Because I love my husband, and this is not the time nor the place to do this.
The other thing, too, is that it's not always, it doesn't always have to be a romantic relationship. Mm-mm. That these things happen in. You can have a friendship where people be emotionally abusive. Correct. You know, via social media, I've seen people be emotionally abusive, you know, with groups of people and shit like that. You know, people want to control those groups. People find a pecking order and start doing shit too. Number two, you feel guilty all the time. You feel guilty or slightly ashamed all the time without knowing what about. You become hypervigilant for monitoring your behavior to avoid giving your partner a reason to criticize you, a feeling of walking on eggshells, but the goalposts seem to move all the time, so you never know how you will irritate or disappoint him next. They say him. The irony is, an abuser can even make you feel guilty for their own bad behavior. They got drunk because you upset them or stressed them out or just being jealous over their flirting.
I got a feeling that this relationship, this particular one, is most likely written from a straight perspective.
Probably most of them,
right?
If not all, because, you know, that's who mostly write these things.
Correct.
Three, suddenly you need protecting. If you go out without your partner, you're either given a curfew or they insist on picking you up. They ask you to Snapchat or a picture of who you are with when you get there. They tell you they are just taking care of you, but really they're checking up on you, keeping you on a leash so it will get shorter and shorter. Shit. Yeah, I didn't even think about how new technology and stuff affects this social media and all that stuff.
Yeah, we old, so it's a little different, but yeah, nowadays everything is so instant.
Right. Send me a picture with all your people.
Let me turn on your Find My Phone.
Right. Four, they make grand gestures. When an abusive partner knows they overstepped the line, you are questioning the relationship. Get ready for a grand gesture, an expensive meal out, a surprise weekend away, and an unexpected gift, a bunch of flowers. The original problem remains unresolved or not even acknowledged. A grand gesture buys your silence, and your part of the deal is to not insist on talking things through. Number five, you're being gaslighted. Gradually, you get the feeling that things just don't quite add up. Your partner contradicts something they have told you previously, or you suspect you're not getting the whole picture about their last relationship or why they left their last job or whatever. And they may also deny doing or saying something that you clearly remember, but they deny it with such conviction and confidence that you start to doubt yourself. This insidious form of manipulation is called gaslighting, and it's designed to make you doubt your mental health. Six, they burst your bubble. So if you come home excited about something, they immediately shit on it. You know what I mean? So if you ever like get too up, especially about something that's not involving them,
correct,
then it's, I don't want you to get too confident out here. So let me tell you why it's stupid.
Because confident women wouldn't fuck with me, because a lot of people like that that actually attack confident people, they're attacking you because it's something within you that sparks something within them that and a lot of times it comes from a place of jealousy and a place of, oh, I know you can do better than me.
Well, not just that, I think it's also control.
Correct.
You know, I want to control your emotions, and you find yourself getting confident or happy or something without me finding some self-esteem, you might fuck around and leave. You know, I gotta make sure you stay even keel and mostly feeling bad about shit, so you feel like you need me. In the future, you gradually find yourself not sharing your ideas and successes with them because you know you won't get a positive reaction. Yeah, they also said in that segment that they'll start arguments unrelated to whatever it is. So just coincidentally, every time you just hit this a milestone and you get happy about something, they start a fight. Seven, backhanded compliments are their stock and trade. So it says when you first meet, you know, they flatter you and all that stuff, but as time goes by, compliments become few and far between, replaced by comments about how wrong your look is, the top doesn't suit you, you're putting on weight, what's going on with your hair. If you object, you're once again being oversensitive.
And that's the thing. I've dealt with that, and I dealt with that a lot as a kid, and it was one of the things that made me very, very rebellious. And as an adult, I had to learn how to balance that, because if as a child, and I didn't get a sense of humor till later on in life, like after I met Roderick and his family, because I didn't have a sense of humor at all, because everything was literally taken like at my household. So when you say certain things, you know, you responded in I don't want to say an over the top way, but you responded in a way where humor wasn't attached with it.
Right. Eight, they have no empathy. You talk about a problem at work, then you're overreacting. You're allowed a short time to vent about major upsets, then you are expected to get over it so you can focus your energy and attention once again on your partner and their needs. Some emotional abusers disappear when you need them the most or become extra critical. Yep, I definitely understand that. Like, well, it's just talking to a brick wall. I'm like, what's going on? You know? And especially when it's like, well, this thing happened to me, and it's just like, that's not about me. I don't want to talk about it. Number nine, you're always in the wrong. Whether it's something you said 6 months ago, not telling your partner something that they believe they have a right to know, or letting them down in some way, putting your needs before theirs, an abusive partner will keep a mental tally and regularly remind you of your crimes. They may even add things that happened before you met, encouraging you to be honest about your past sexual history, for instance, only later use that information as evidence of your badness. Are you slept with 8 niggas? You know, that kind of shit. Like, what? We met yesterday. What are you talking about?
Right.
10, financial abuse. Purse strings tighten. So controlling you financially is a classic tactic of an abusive partner. They may start by giving you advice that really helps, helping you sort your debts, being more financially responsible. Soon your partner steps up the pressure to be careful with money, but somehow it seems like it's always you who has to cut back, earn more, and stop spending. Your partner doesn't consult you before they spend money, but if there's something you want, particularly if it involves a threat to your partner's control over you, like training for your career or weekend away with friends, there'll be a reason why you can't afford it. 11, others become involved. When you met your partner had plausible explanations for their feuds and falling outs with friends and family members, but now it's your friends and family that are insulting, attacking, and trying to sideline your partner, and you are under pressure to take sides. Whatever the reason, your life together seems to lurch for drama, from drama to drama. That's a major one, because a lot of abusive people practice isolation.
Yeah, they do.
So they want you by yourself. So they'll do shit where it's like, oh, this person, you can't trust them because they fucked up. Well, that was your best friend. Y'all known each other all this time. Well, maybe they're afraid their best friend, their family, is going to be the one to tell you, like, yo, this nigga ain't shit. Like, run. Like, this is not okay.
They're right. They don't want you talking and communicating with people.
Right.
And also, they don't want you reaching out, because you might reach out and be like, girl.
Right. And on the other side of it, too, though, keep in mind, they are definitely telling people that you ain't shit.
Right.
So that nobody's talking to each other, you know, where it's like, well, she's the one that don't want this. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I won't talk to her about that. Or he said that. Well, I guess I won't talk to him about that. And it's all just people working on third party information. And there's nothing worse than you coming together and talking to those people and getting the full story, you know, cause then it's like, I lost control over the information, and people love to control that flow of information. Like that was when they're abusive like that.
Correct.
Cause then they'll disappear. The second everybody on the same page is like, oh, I'm out. Fuck this shit. Y'all ain't catching me. 12, people think you've changed. People who care about you say you seem quiet these days, just not yourself. They wonder why you rarely go out, why you change the way you dress. You find it hard to get them explanation. 13, you look forward to evenings on your own. Now see, this is a little misleading, because I always look forward to evenings on my own, but I'm not being abused. No, that I know of, I'm just saying. Seriously though, that's a little bit misleading, but I know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Is like, this motherfucker is so overbearing. It's like,
right.
Oh God, thank God he left the house for a couple of days, or she left the house, or whatever. Like, they left the store, house.
Shit, I can do my own thing.
Right. I understand that. But yeah, you notice your mood is lighter one day, and you remember it's the night your partner's going out, and you get an evening to yourself, or they tell you they have to get away for work in a couple of weeks, and you find yourself looking forward to it. When your partner's not around, you feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulders. 14, he or she is stonewalling you. This is a big tactic of emotional abusers. Like, honestly, I don't understand how people do this. Like, I legit be like, this is scary that people can do this to other people. But your partner can withdraw emotionally for you from days, not making eye contact, not talking, refusing to explain why, while at the same time managing to let you know that whatever it is, it's your fault. They may even disappear for days. When they come back, they'll tell you they just need some space, but you may never find out what's really going on. So
a lot of times it may have nothing to do with you.
Even if it's still a sign of control.
Yes, it is.
So it's still that reaction. I mean, we're partners, we're friends, we're whatever, we're lovers, we're in this together, and then you can just cut me off so coldly. You know what I mean? Where I'm not getting any communication from you. That shit right there, like, that tells you a lot about people, how they handle conflict and shit. I've had that happen, you know. My brother was one of those people, like, he gets mad, he shuts shit down. That was it when we was kids. So it's like, you know, I had to learn to adjust to it, but also I was like, yeah, I don't want to have to resolve an issue with somebody that can cut me off so fast, you know. And I understand people process differently. Some people need more time, some people, you know, whatever, but it's weird to me because I need resolution. So I'm more of a like, all right, well, let's talk about this. Like, okay, we had a disagreement, but can we at least figure out where we disagree so it won't happen again? And some people don't need that. They're just like, nah, fuck that shit.
Right. And the thing about the stonewall was so fucked up about that. You do this to me, but yet you still want to have some form of intimacy with me.
Right.
We have no connection, but you still want to fuck me. What's exciting about having sex with somebody or being intimate with somebody that has emotionally cut you off?
Right. That's sad. But those are the 14 signs, well, 14 of the signs that they have written in that article. I just thought that was interesting. I had that article for a while, but I was like, you know, I wonder if people might be experiencing that, and you just kind of need to know you're not going crazy.
Right.
And maybe those step, maybe you read those, heard those and went, okay, I've experienced this. I know what that's about, you know?
Right. And this applies to all relationships because this can be anybody.
All right. Let's do it. Now that. I mean, do that. I meant. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game going all around the globe that makes us feel fucked with is black people. We assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contest is everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with us right now. A Texas cop was indicted for lying about racially motivated beating. He previously had killed a black man in front of his family, in front of his three children. Mm-hmm. Fort Worth police officer now indicted for hitting a black man and then lying to investigators about the circumstances was previously involved in a high profile police killing. Last week, Officer John Preston Romer Jr., 38, was indicted for lying about an incident which happened while he was moonlighting as a security officer at a hospital. Romer choked and punched Henry Newson, a black man waiting for transportation after being discharged from the hospital. According to prosecutors, he allegedly lied about the circumstances to investigators and then lied under oath by claiming he told Newson that he was under arrest before striking him. Newson was charged in the incident, but those charges have now been dropped. And they always, oh, resisting arrest. How's that a charge? The incident raised
arrest is just something they throw out there sometimes,
right? That shouldn't even be a charge,
right? Your attitude is resisting arrest.
The incident raises troubling questions about a past incident involving Romer, which prompted protest in Fort Worth. In 2013, he claimed that he stopped 32-year-old Cheryl Thomas and that Thomas rolled up his car window and tapped Romer's arm. Romer claimed that he feared for his life. Romer then fatally shot Thomas with his three young children in the back seat watching. That driver, the suspect, all he had to do was assent to what the officer asked him to do, which was step out of the vehicle, said the investigator at the time. It's easy to stand outside of police work and point a finger of either racism or something inappropriate, then Chief Jeff Halstead said at the time. We have the hardest job in the nation. Despite being indicted for perjury and lying to investigators, Romer is still a cop in Fort Worth, though he is on restricted duty. I ain't get some retraining like that, IHOP. Watch a, okay, yeah. So, yep. 0 to 100.
100.
Yeah, that's definitely 100. That's definitely 100. And I like how now it's like, well, maybe he was lying about that first one. I wonder. Huh. Now that we have him on the oath. Anyway, we'll restrict his duty. We don't wanna, it's the toughest job in the world, guys. If it's so fucking tough, why y'all let so many bottom of the barrel motherfuckers do it?
Raise your standards.
Right. Soldier's racist views do not make him a criminal, a jury has been told. The racist views of an army trainer and alleged recruiter for banned neo-Nazi group National Action do not make him a criminal, a jury has been told. Well, we never want to confuse a racist neo-Nazi with a criminal. The barrister for 33-year-old Lance Corporal Miko Vahevivalainen told jurors on Wednesday it was not in dispute that he is racist. It is not disputed that he has written and said things about the vast majority of people, which the vast majority of people will find utterly repulsive about black people, Jews, Muslims, and lots of other minority groups. It is not disputed he has associated with other races.
We ain't arguing about that. He said that shit.
Right. As a lawyer, my job is not to tell you this man isn't a racist. He clearly is. Men and women from what might be called the far right, that might include neo-Nazis and other different groups of people. But he added that while the groundbreaking case would test the limits of free speech and freedom of association in Britain, the action, man's actions were not criminal. Vevilianinen and fellow Royal Anglian Regiment soldier, 25-year-old Private Mark Barrett, are both on trial accused of membership of the far-right organization, which was banned by the government December 2016. At least they can ban groups in Canada. That's nice. That must be nice. Birmingham Crown Court, where three men, including two serving... Oh, wait, this is Britain. Okay. Serving British soldiers are on trial accused of membership in the banned neo-Nazi group, National Action. Also facing the same charge at Birmingham Crown Court is the 23-year-old male who cannot be named for legal reasons, but who was described in court as a regional leader for the group. The jury heard how a host of lawfully held weapons, including guns, knives, and crossbows, which he kept at his army accommodation. Jurors were also told he had pleaded guilty to unlawfully having a canister of CS spray among his weapons. Addressing the jury after the prosecution's opening speech, Mr. Panayi said, "In many ways, this case is unprecedented because you have heard that National Action was the first far-right group to be banned since the Second World War, and this is the first prosecution arising out of that ban. It is a groundbreaking case." He added, "This case will test the limits of free speech and the freedom to say what you think and the freedom of frighten, offend, and discuss." Mm-hmm. The QC said, "You are, in the end, going to have to determine in this case whether the boundary lies between the Corporal Miko Vivaldin's right to speak freely, to think what he chooses and associate with others who share his views, and where that boundary lies, whether it crosses over into the reaches of criminal law or not." Here's my thing. If y'all are disbanding the groups, how are the members not breaking the law? How is that just not open and shut case? You know, well, you guys think about it. We know it's against the law to be a member of these groups and to hold these racist beliefs, but he does hold racist beliefs, but does that really make him wrong? You guys decide.
That's basically what the lawyer's saying.
He's married with children. He's accused of two counts of stirring up racial hatred through posts on the U.S. based Christogenia.org website, where he goes under the name Nico Christian. White nationalist extremist Anders Breivik, a copy of whose manifesto was allegedly found in Vivaldin's possession. That's just a picture. Anyway, he has been further charged with possessing a document likely to be used of to terrorists. A copy of white nationalist Anders Breivik's manifesto. Counsel for Barrett, Dekalia Barracks, Cyprus, where he lived with his wife and children, also told the jury that the case was not about assessing the morality of expression and presidential opinions all right-minded people might recoil from. So they're basically trying to use the argument of, well, just because he was offensive, let's not throw him in jail. Okay, don't judge him on that basis. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100. Nigga do stuff that's offensive and white folks would throw you in jail.
Mm-hmm. Like, they've literally thrown Black Lives Matter activists and dudes ranting on Facebook, you know, like, fuck all, kill all these white people and shit like that. They have thrown them in jail, literally. Like, going to their houses, we've covered it on the show, throwing these motherfuckers in jail. But this dude literally was a member of a banned white nationalist party, and we still had to have a trial with jurors and figure shit out if he, what he did was wrong. A white man used blackface disguise during daring Las Vegas casino heist.
Are we playing fuck with black people?
Yes.
Okay.
We are playing fuck with black people.
100,
yes.
For the last one.
100. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you asked or not. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't give a score.
By the way, this white man looked kind of like JB Smooth in his black man makeup.
What?
Yep.
Are you for real?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Why was he walking so close to the camera? It's like he wanted to get caught. He's like a fake ass Humpty Hump.
He does.
Typically, when a person tries to commit attempt robbery of a public place or a convenience store, like a convenience store or a gas station, they make an attempt to protect the identity. Well, Cameron Kennedy decided to go one step further and conveniently change his whole racial identity. The 26-year-old was arrested 2 weeks after robbing a New York hotel and casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Originally, the robber was described as a black man, but the culprit was later revealed to be Kennedy in blackface. Wearing glasses, his skin job, and a cap, Kennedy entered the casino, then flashed a black semi-automatic handgun under his jacket, reportedly saying, "I want all your hundreds and don't mess around. I'm not kidding. I want all the hundreds." I wonder if he said it in a black accent.
You know he did.
I want all them hennies. They was like, why are you talking like that, sir?
I had a grill and everything.
This how we talks. We blacks. Blacks rule. I'm out.
That's how we talk. The blacks. I mean, we blacks. I mean, I'm a part of the group, the black peoples.
Kennedy, like, give me all the money, honkies. Reach for
home
the
boys.
Reach for the sky, you jive turkeys.
Yes, we're gonna take it back.
Kennedy had been under federal supervision for a previous bank robbery and had ordered to be ordered to wear a GPS device. However, just before the robbery, he cut the device off, according to both the U.S. attorney and a criminal complaint. Why? You think they were gonna figure it out?
Your device went dead. Word.
Right before the robbery, came back on right after. Kennedy, who left the casino with over $23,000, was placed in federal custody on Monday. He's been charged with interference with commerce by robbery. 0 to 100.
Oh, that's terrible. A zero.
Zero. I'm fucked with it. I give it 100. He was walking around like a nigga. Come on, man. Come on, man. All right. Let's move on to some other news. Okay, guys. Gotta be more positive things to cover. What?
Mm-mm.
All right. Let's do some white people news, guys.
Let's do it.
Let me share my screen so you guys can see your favorite part, which is obviously the video of the covers, which I've gotten a lot of rave reviews. Everybody loves this part. Mm-hmm. You know, people often write me, Rod, thank you so much for putting me onto these songs, and I want y'all to know you're welcome. Okay, it comes from the heart, and I'm happy to share it with you guys.
Mm-hmm. What?
Work.
Oh shit! How you slow down that bag?
Time to have you lurking.
Mm-mm.
Me go act like you don't like it. You know I dealt with you the nicest. Nobody touched me on a righteous. Nobody test me in a crisis. I believed all of my dreams adoration. Into my heart, my keys and my patience. Into my heart, I'm asleep for decoration. I sleep my love, but you for the foundation. Mm-mm. All that I wanted was for you to give me something like I never had, something that you never seen, something that you've never been. But I wake up and I think nothing's wrong. Work. You see me, I be work. See me do the dirt. Saw me put in work. Turn. I beg you something, please. Baby, don't you leave. Don't leave me stuck here in the street. If I get another chance to, I will never, never neglect you. Might I hold your past against you? I just hope that it gets to you. That you see this through. Hope that you see this true. What can I say? Please recognize I'm trying to, baby. Gotta work. See me, I'll be work. See me do the dirt.
It's like Rihanna singing right to you, ain't it?
Yep. Mm-mm.
Woo!
I'm not here for this.
Get funky with it.
Man, he done slowed this song all the way damn down.
He's not white either. So, you know, just some Bruno Mars type shit right here. Y'all guys.
No, not, it's not.
I know y'all very upset.
Mm-mm. That is terrible. I need to be able to sing along and not understand. No, thank you.
Need to write several think pieces on this. ICE spokesman. Oh, that's right. We got to do that Charles Man first. Y'all elected Donald Trump, and white people can't do white people news without talking about Trump.
100.
ICE spokesman resigned, saying he can no longer spread falsehoods for Trump administration. And these white people are leaving that shit quicker than IHOP. Good grief. He's so unconscionable. You just have people that have been doing these jobs are just like, I can't even, this is getting too racist.
I'm losing family and friends. I mean, goddamn. I mean, I'm racist, but damn, dog.
You know, I can't be going out here on TV saying shit like, Mexicans is raping everybody. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. I gotta quit.
The money ain't that goddamn good.
The spokesman, James Schwab, who had worked at the agency's San Francisco division, told news outlets Monday that his decision was prompted by false statements made by the agency on February 27th. The statements criticized the mayor of Oakland, Libby Scheif, for her decision last month to warn city residents that a raid by federal immigration agents targeting roughly 1,000 people was imminent. The agency's deputy director, Thomas D. Holman, said that Ms. Scheif's warning had helped 864 criminal aliens and public safety threats to evade capturing the raid. Mr. Sessions, in a visit to California last week, condemned Ms. Scheif, a Democrat, and echoed the agency's asserting that her actions had allowed hundreds to escape.
Bravo! She was like, they coming to get y'all. Y'all better leave.
Yeah, he said he left because he didn't want to perpetuate misleading facts. I asked him to change the information, he told the Chronicle, referring to the 864 people to whom the statement alluded to. I told them that the information was wrong. They asked me to deflect, and I didn't agree with that. Then I took some time, and I quit. Mm-hmm. Trump proposes U.S. Space Force to guard the galaxy.
What is this? Guardian of the galaxies? What the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, he said he started it with the idea as kind of a joke, but then he thought about it and was like, yeah, we should really do this. We should have a Space Force.
Nope, because Thanos is out there, and he gonna whoop our asses. I'm good.
Who's gonna stop the Weather Dominator if not for the Space Force, Karen?
I am good. A portal gonna open up. All types of shit getting ready to happen. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Tiny Lister as president. First on CNN, email show Candy Carson and Ben Carson selected that $31,000 dining set. Yeah, he's still throwing Candy under the bus too, saying it was all her fault. Trying to act like he just walked in and the fucking table was ordered. $31,000. First of all, what the fuck is your wife doing ordering the table for your professional job in the first place? She don't work there. When has that been acceptable? You think everybody got a first lady? No, that's just one. The president gets a first lady. Everybody else just got a fucking wife. Or husband, depending on, you know, whatever y'all, you know,
right.
Boyfriend, I don't give a fuck. But the point being,
first man, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, not, you don't work there. You can't be like, I decided the Oval Office is getting drapes. Nigga, what? No, you don't get to decide that. Vanessa Trump's filed for divorce from Donald Trump Jr., who turned out was cheating on her with Ari O'Day, who's from, Danny DeCane. This sounds like a pootie tang. You know what? These niggas be cheating. What else y'all think? Don't it? Ari O'Day, Danny DeCane.
I mean, what's happening here?
Run that kind on my sommetay.
Tip a towel, my yippee yow.
Trump administration eliminates animal welfare rules because Obama put them in place. And Facebook launches an audit of data leaked to Trump consultant. Apparently, they hired a digital forensics firm to investigate the handling of data on millions of Americans that leaked through a consulting firm working on Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. The move by Facebook came amid an onslaught of criticism after reports that British firm Cambridge Analytica harvested personal data from the profiles of 50 million users on the social network without their knowledge or consent. A Facebook statement said the forensics firm Stroh Friedberg would conduct a comprehensive audit of the Cambridge Analytica and that the company had agreed to comply and provide access to its servers and systems. Facebook said the University of Cambridge psychologist Alexander Krogan, who developed the app used to harvest the user data, also agreed to cooperate. It added that Christopher Wiley, a Canadian data analytics expert who worked with Kogan, and who revealed the data leak to media, had declined to cooperate with the audit. Yeah, people were calling that dude a hero, but I mean, nigga, you worked there. What the fuck? I mean, I guess I'm better than not coming for it, but still. This is like, now these checks stop coming in. I gotta say, that was wrong.
To say.
Now the election's over and they got Donald Trump. I gotta say, that was fucked up. We were spreading lies about Hillary and these motherfuckers were sharing it. This part of a comprehensive internal external review that we are conducting to determine the accuracy of the claim that Facebook data is still in question still exists. It noted that the parties involved had certified to Facebook the data in question had been destroyed, but said that if this data still exists, it would be a grave violation of Facebook's policies and an unacceptable violation of trust and commitments.
Of course it exists somewhere in somebody's cloud up in the sky.
Facebook says the terms of service were violated when Kogan lied and used the results of his personality quiz to pass on data to Cambridge Analytica, which helped in Trump's 2016 campaign. So thanks, guys. All y'all that kept filling out the fucking, like, which Ninja Turtle are you surveys. Yeah, they also said because of the surveys that the data, they weren't just taking your data, they were able to take your friends' data too if you took these surveys and shit.
Wow.
Yep. So anyway, that's y'all's man. Let's see what else we got. Let's go to some refreshing white people news, okay? Oh wait, this isn't very refreshing. Remember that white boy who killed all them people because he was drunk driving and he said it was because he was so rich he just couldn't understand life and they called it affluenza?
Yes.
He about to get out of jail, right? We were doing this show when that happened. We only been doing the show for 8 years. He killed 4 people. He about to be free already. And remember, he wasn't supposed to go to jail in the first place. He got this like 10-year probation type thing where he was supposed to not be drinking. Well, he got caught drinking, so he had to go to jail. That's what happened. Well, and he was 16 at the time, and they're like, he's young, he doesn't know any better. Well, he's 20 and he'll be out of jail now. He'll be due to be released on the 2nd of April. Yep. Part of his probation conditions, at the time he was ordered to stay away from alcohol, but he had a video online that showed him taking part in a drinking game at a party December 2015. His probation officer then ordered Couch to attend the meeting, but he refused. Instead, Couch and his mother fled to Mexico. They eventually tracked down several months later in the town of Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and Couch was later arrested and his case was transferred to the adult court system.
Right. Did they charge her too?
They didn't say in this article, but he got 2 years in jail. And he was ordered to serve 4 consecutive 180-day sentences for each of the people he killed. Half a year in jail for 4 people he killed drunk driving. And that's him being tried as an adult, they said. Can you imagine? GTBW. Am I right, guys?
Come on.
Bill Murray couldn't be bothered to stay awake during the Isle of Dogs panel. He has a new movie coming out called Isle of Dogs.
Oh shit, it was so boring it bored him to death. Why did he do it then?
Well, Bill Murray is just that dude. He's known as the quirky ass dude. I think he seems like an asshole, but
right,
it seems like people really like him and his antics, but I've always thought, unpopular opinion I guess, I've always thought this nigga sound like a jerk. It's like Bill Murray showed up at people's wedding uninvited. I'm like, get the fuck out of my wedding, nigga.
I didn't invite you.
Bill Murray likes to do things like steal fries off people's plates. And then he'll be like, they always have a story. I got my fries stole by Bill Murray. I'm like, well, you're going to have a story. I stole off on Bill Murray. Now what? Well, now we both have a laugh.
Right.
Bill Murray is as much a meme as a man. For the last several years, the comedian has cultivated a mythic reputation for doing well pretty much whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it. Crashing a Bill Murray themed ice cream social check, going to a random house party and washing all the dishes, of course, sneaking into a White House press conference just to celebrate the Cubs winning the World Series. No, now you're being ridiculous. Oh wait, just kidding, he did that too. So it should come as no surprise that the patron saint of party whimsy gave us several more Murray moments at South by Southwest over the weekend, where he was on hand to promote the Wes Anderson film Isle of Dogs. It don't get no whiter than that. He kicked off his run by doing a public reading of a poem about dogs, accompanied by a celloist, a cellist, and frequent collaborator John Vogler cheerfully mocked the fan at the Isle of Dogs panel, then promptly fell asleep when he got bored of said panel, because there's no better time for a nap than when you're on stage in front of hundreds of people. The Murrayisms began with the comedian reading a 1598 poem called Dog by B. Airport Lawrence Ferlinghetti. Dozens of festival goers watched as Murray loudly recited the verse, supported by Vogler on his cello. In the bottom right corner of this recording, you can see Anderson himself excitedly recording the pair on his phone. Somewhere out there, Christopher Nolan's positively Scott. Okay, I don't care about that. Next at the Isle of Dogs panel, he joined the rest of the eccentric stop motion film voice cast, including Bob Balaban, Jeff Goldblum, and Kunichi Nomura, for a screening and a fan Q&A. When one audience member stepped up to the mic, then accidentally forgot the question they were going to ask, Murray responded by quipping, "Sir, you might want to loosen that headband," according to USA Today, referring to the free pro dog headband that everyone in the crowd received. After that, though, Murray must have been tuckered out from a long day of whimsy and quips. He eventually closed his eyes to catch a few quick micro naps during the panel, as evidenced by a video captured by USA Today. Knowing his unknowable schedule, Murray was probably planning to crash a karaoke session or a bachelorette party later that night. So the man's got to rest where he can. Isn't that some nice, refreshing whiteness?
I guess it is, yes.
I mean, he's just out here doing whatever he wants to do, man. Sleeping on the job. It won.
Right. Because you're getting paid to be there.
Oh. Denzel Washington falls asleep on stage. He'll be like, what? Let's see. A huge surge in people getting high on bug spray, which leaves them raging like a mad dog, health officials warn.
What is this? Green lightning, they shooting themselves up. What the hell is happening here? Bug spray that kills bugs.
U.S. health officials have seen a surge in the number of people using bug spray to get high.
People will get high off of just about anything.
In the last year, an alarming trend has been reported in Mississippi, Tennessee, and most recently Indiana. Exposure to high concentrations of the active ingredient in bug spray creates what has been described as a zombie-like state with unpredictable behavior, including convulsions, difficulty breathing, and rage. This is how it happens. This is how the zombie apocalypse happens. They keep looking for it.
Yeah, because you're having the same side effects as them goddamn bugs I be hitting it with. They get zombie-like, they rage and shit, and I just shoot them some more.
Emergency responders have struggled to keep up with the changing combinations of drugs laced with household chemicals for more than a decade, and experts warn that even if the bug spray trend is stopped, another will likely pop up in its place. Are we out of Tide Pods, I ask? Is the choking game over? What's going on? The active ingredient in bug spray is called pyrethroids, are considered to be safe in small exposures. However, exposure to high concentration can cause respiratory distress and overactivity in the central nervous system that leads to sweating, muscle spasm, seizure, and the risk of falling into a coma. It's why we use it on bugs, because it overstimulates the bug. They have the equivalent of seizures and die, Indiana Poison Center's medical director Daniel Rusniak said.
Right, that makes sense that you have the same side effects as the goddamn bugs.
In Indianapolis, KD is a street name for a group of bug spray lakes drugs, including marijuana, spice, tobacco, and banana leaves. Banana leaves?
Right?
Have we smoked everything? Firefighter Scott Lebhertz told the Indiana Star that bags of KD are sold for about $20 and create a catatonic high for 45 minutes. You look at what it does to a bug, and then you got to think that's what it's doing to your brain and your body and everything else. Right.
Yeah, because I've hit plenty of bugs with bug spray, honey. I fucked around and had a two-gunner. I was shooting with the left hand and the right hand. Fuck a bug. I done seen it, because when you hit them, they shock, and then they fall off your wall, they hit the ground, they run around, and then eventually they die. That's what you're going to do.
Right. If you come to me doing high on fucking bug spray, what you smoking? That Raid, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Getting fucked up. Hey, man, you know what? Why don't you come with me and we go on top of this roof real quick and let's have a conversation about this.
Go on, jump. No, I don't want to jump.
Yes, you do. You smoke crack, don't you? You smoke crack, don't you? Look at me, boy. Don't you smoke crack?
Yes, sir.
You know what that does to you? Huh?
No, sir.
It kills your brain cells, son. It kills your brain cells. Now, when you're destroying your brain cells, you're doing the same thing as killing yourself. You're just doing it slower. Now, I say, if you want to kill yourself, don't fuck around with it. Go on and do it expeditiously. Now, go on and jump. Jump!
No. I don't want to kill myself, sir.
That's basically what's happening.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Let's do it expeditiously.
Pray for the babies. My Burrick, goodness.
I'm just, oh, I'm like, fuck. See what the shit does to a bug. No, thank you.
In December, a Tennessee man admitted to smoking WASP, a mix of methamphetamine and bug spray, because meth wasn't strong enough, before he broke into a home and tried to cut himself at a family's dinner table. Mississippi law enforcement officials warned of a dangerous drug called Hot Shots last July, which requires crystallizing wasp spray with a battery before melting it down and injecting it intravenously.
What?
Yes.
How do you crystallize bugs? What is happening here?
Oh, you heard me, Karen. Mm-hmm. That just happened.
You're frying it like crack? What the hell is happening? I'm old. What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Batteries and bug sprays and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the name, I wouldn't know no difference in the name. I got fucked up. You want some? Yeah, I would like some hot sauce.
First of all, what kind of science experiment shit are you doing? Nah, you gotta take the wasp spray and you gotta crystallize it with some batteries. Like, nigga, I failed already.
Y'all
want to get high way more than I do.
None of that. Imagine how many people have died and how many times it's failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because somebody had to be the first one to try the wrong right. Shit.
Nah, nigga, you got to use a 9-vote. See, that's why you all fucked up right now. Yeah, they said a person will stand at a jail cell door, slobber like a mad dog, wanting to fight. Everything is wrong. Nothing is right for 1 minute. Then they calm down and be just like a normal human being. And then go right back into a rage. That's what they said about that drug.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that last?
I don't know. Man, say. Man, they make some regular drugs with this shit, too. I hope you. What is that?
All them white folks. I do 100%. Right. That's this definitely. You become white people news. Yeah, all white.
Anytime you say meth ain't strong enough, I need to put some bug spray in it. Life is shitty.
I need to knock it up a notch. What?
Mm-hmm. You know, take this up. What's sad is that they won't put spice on their food. But they'll put bug spray in their drugs. Ain't that some shit, y'all? Fifth Harmony.
They probably put the spices in their drugs.
Fifth Harmony is taking a break and fans are devastated. Oh, no.
Not Fifth Harmony.
Fifth Harmony devastated their fans on Monday when the group announced they'll be taking an indefinite hiatus to focus on solo work.
Oh, I missed 1-4. My bad, y'all.
We've been through this before, guys. Okay? It's not gonna work. One of y'all might get famous. One and a possible. Three of y'all are headed straight for the unemployment line. Like, I don't even know what happened, but this is never good. It never works. Spice Girl still trying to figure a way to get back together.
Right.
And, man. Reflecting on the past 6 months, we started on X Factor. We realized just how far we've come, and we appreciate everything so much, now more than ever. Allie Brooke, Normani, Dina Jane, and Lauren Jarigui wrote in a letter to fans on social media. We've really had one hell of a memorable journey together and can't begin to express our gratitude to y'all for coming along with us for this wild ride. It's probably because of that one girl is racist. Yep, Camila Cabello. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The racist one.
Yeah, can't sell tickets. You know, people like, hey, they associate you with Donald Trump. So, you know, and it's also one of them things where...
Wait, what?
You said she's racist, right?
Yeah, they don't associate. They're not from here, so I don't think it's about Donald Trump. She's just racist.
Oh, she's just flat racist. Oh, yeah. So Fifth Harmony is not from the United States?
No. Okay. No, I don't think so. But it wasn't like she said, I'm doing this because of Trump. She called like her bandmates nigger and shit. People found out about
it. Oh, I remember that. Okay, UK. Yeah. UK. My bad, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Racism still fucked up no matter where you at.
Feel bad for all the fans. I have some
Lakshmi's angry, sad, and disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Angry, sad.
That's the reaction.
Mm-hmm. Fifth Harmony's hiatus follows the 2016 departure of Camila Cabello, who released her solo album earlier this year. Rumors that the group would be parting ways again circulating after Normani signed a solo deal last October. After 6 years of going hard nonstop, we also realized that in order to stay authentic to ourselves and to you, we need to take some time for now to go on hiatus from Fifth Harmony in order to pursue solo endeavors, they wrote in their announcement. Fans online are posting about their favorite Fifth Harmony memories, thanking the group and mourning the decision. Meanwhile, others are taking the opportunity to make jokes about Camila, who said in an interview in January that she left the group after being forced to decide between them and her solo work. The four remaining members may not be breaking up for good, but there's no telling how long this hiatus could be.
Oh, that's a prominent hiatus.
Yeah, so sad. They were so young.
I guess the Harmony is gone then.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman, 49, FaceTimes his wife Deborah Lee Furness, 62. After scooping Best Actor at 2018 Empire Awards as The Last Jedi leads winners with 6 prizes.
He got him a cougar.
Yeah, shade. I ain't never read an article the other way. Well, I take that back. Daily Mail is pretty equal opportunity on this. But it just is a different type of connotation when an old man got a young woman. But yeah, I guess they do it to everybody. I was about to be hating, but that's not true. They definitely would. They'd be like, so-and-so 47 calls his wife 19, and you're like, mm-hmm. He said goodbye to Wolverine after 17 years of playing the role, but Hugh Jackman instead played tribute to his wife Deborah Lee Furness, 62, and on Sunday as he accepted Best Actor at the 2018 Empire Awards. Best Actor for what? What movie he do? Did I forget something he did? I know it wasn't Wolverine. The 49-year-old Australia actor called his wife on FaceTime after taking to the stage in London's Roundhouse Theater in a night which saw Star Wars The Last Jedi come out top with 6 goings. Hugh took to the stage to accept Best Actor from Anna Taylor-Joy, beating out John Boyega, Andy Serkis, Armie Hammer, and Gary Oldman. I can't. After receiving
That's the whitest shit ever.
After receiving the prize, Hugh reminisced about the dream project that was Logan and how his 20 years playing the X-Men character led him to the Swanstone performance. He said, when we started making this movie, every single email I wrote had the heading Utopia. We wanted to make something that was our dream project for this character. We could not have achieved this without an incredible team. So I guess he did win for Wolverine. He then grabbed his phone from someone in the audience with his wife on the line from New York via FaceTime, showing his prize to her and saying, baby, you've sacrificed more than anything else. The Greatest Showman star also gave a mention to his co-star film, Daphne Keene, who had received the Best Female Newcomer Award earlier in the evening, calling her a natural.
Oh, and that might have been, we know you ain't do Wolverine no more, so this is the last one.
Oh, like some sort of a lifetime achievement type thing. Like,
he been doing that 17 years. They was like, we better give it to you here.
He went on to say, the last 20 years, I learned a lot about this character. There are 20 million people out there who still know a hell of a lot more about this character than me. This award and this movie is for those people. So maybe it was for Wolverine. I can't figure out which one of these, who, I don't know what it's for.
It can't be for that Showman movie, The Greatest Showman.
Mm-hmm. It can't be for that though.
Right, because I'm thinking that just came out.
Yeah. So, yeah, but good. Oh, wait, it has it here. Let me see. Empire Wars, Best Film, Star Wars. Where's the Best Actor? Best Actor, Hugh Jackman for Logan. Okay, so this must be like their MTV Awards or some shit. Because all these things are like, you know, cartoon movies and shit. Star Wars.
Okay.
Logan and shit, so that can't be the best movie they saw. Yeah,
right, because you were naming that list. I was like, okay, now
all right, we're about to get to the break. I'm gonna go ahead and just do it early and then come right back, rather than wait till we get interrupted. Be right back, guys.
Okay,
but yeah, Logan, Logan was all right. I didn't really like it as much as other people, but a lot of people love that movie. It's kind of sad and dark and corny.
I didn't watch it. I watched all the other ones. I watched every single one of them. I didn't want to watch that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the best Wolverine movie, but you know,
yeah,
not saying much.
Yeah, I think the last one, the first half of the movie was good. The second half was terrible, and I was like, you won't get me no more. I'm good, Wolverine. Not until Marvel bring it back.
All right, let's move on and get into some Guess the Race, guys.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And all those people are racist. All right, let's get right into it. Columbus news anchor has been charged in a dispute with her son. WLTZ anchor Dee Armstrong was arrested early Friday after a dispute with her son, according to Columbus police. Armstrong, who previously worked at WTVM, faces one count of simple battery. She was booked at the Muskogee County Jail for an 8 a.m. Sunday hearing. Columbus police were called about 4:17 a.m. Friday to investigate a domestic dispute. Armstrong's son told police that he was lying on the bed watching a motivational video. Motivational video? What? Who does that at 4 a.m. when he was watching porn? He was watching a motivational video when she came.
You.
Huh?
I said that definitely motivate you.
Yep. When she came into the room talking to him about God, he allegedly told her to keep her beliefs to herself.
Oh, of course he was watching porn then.
Motivational video. A motivational video, nigga. He said that's when she got mad and punched him on the left side of his face near his eye. He said he grabbed her shoulders and held her against the wall so she wouldn't strike him again. He said she started to yell that she had no clothes on and that he was trying to hurt her. The victim told police he didn't have any evil tendencies and that he wouldn't harm her. He let her go and sat back on the bed before gathering his belongings to leave. Officials said the incident left the victim with bruises on his left cheek near his eye, but Armstrong didn't complain of any injuries. When giving her account of the incident, Armstrong told police that she was getting ready for work when she saw that her son was still awake. She said she believes he is an atheist and was watching the motivational videos. Okay. She said she went into the room to tell him, whatever you are searching for, the answer is God. Armstrong said her son then told her that it was 4 a.m. and she needed to leave. She allegedly didn't leave, but asked why he was speaking with her in that manner. She said that's when he grabbed her by the shoulders and pushed her against the wall in the bathroom. She told him she had no clothes on underneath her bathrobe and to let her go. She told the police she called authorities to get her son removed from her residence. She stated she may have hit her son when she pushed him into the wall. When he pushed her into the wall, she allegedly told police that it only made sense. She also stated that
she did that shit. I believe the story he told is the truth.
She also stated he is a mixed martial arts student and the injuries could have been a result of that.
Mm-mm.
All right. Guess the race of Dee Armstrong, Karen.
Dee Armstrong is black.
All right. Talking about God, 4 a.m. Let's see what you guys think in the chat room. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out black.
No.
Black. All right. White boy. Black. Well, she the one went to jail, so it's really her. God was trying to tell him something. Black. The correct answer is black. One person said white boy.
Is that a wig? A bald wig?
No.
Oh, she just got her hair just gone.
She may have been doing the news in her wig. Because that's not a wig.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I guess when the police picked up, they must have snatched the edges.
Snatch.
All right.
What is happening here? I thought it was one of them bald lace fronts. I was like, what is happening here? She got it like outline like you do when you get a suntan.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do another one, guys. A Pennsylvania pastor insists that there's an innocent explanation for him sitting in a parked car with a naked man who was bound with rope.
What?
Just let him explain, Harry. George Nelson Gregory of Munhall was cited about 11:30 p.m. Friday after police investigated a report of a suspicious vehicle parked in the Homestead neighborhood. A homeowner told police that a man wearing no clothing got out of his car and he was concerned because it was parked within the sight of his daughter's window. Officers found the 61-year-old Gregory sitting in the back seat and another man completely nude and bound with nylon rope sitting in the front seat. The passenger told police that occasionally they met up to play with each other and the other man agreed their activity was consensual. So it was some bondage type things going on. I have nothing to hide. I did nothing wrong, Gregory told the TV station after his arrest for open lewdness and indecent exposure. Okay, so on the one hand, obviously, two consenting adults tying each other up and having sex doesn't seem like a big deal. On the other hand, this isn't a car in public in somebody's neighborhood. That is something to hide and something that is wrong. No offense.
Nobody had, y'all couldn't have rented a motel, hotel, Holiday Inn. What's happening here?
He said the police were investigating whether anyone in the car was intoxicated or unconscious, but Gregory said he was acting as a pastor before his arrest. I was counseling a young man with a drug problem. Gregory said, it didn't turn strange, but it wasn't my doing, okay? It did turn strange, but it wasn't my doing, okay? And I was adamant that I'm not participating in that way. And so that's when police pulled up and they assumed things, but I'm standing by my story. It's not true. Gregory said he has worked with the man for several years and he and his wife have tried to get him help. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the story we're going with, huh?
I don't know nothing, but last time I checked, you don't tie people up at counseling.
I won't deny that he began to take his clothes off and proposition me, but I will deny on a stack of Bibles with God as my witness that I did nothing. The pastor said he was fully clothed, so he doesn't understand why he was charged with open lewdness. The other man was also cited in the incident, but it's not clear what charges he faces. Well, I got you a bridge, I'll tell you. If you believe this nigga's story.
Come on.
Oh shit. Guess the race of this pastor, George Gregory.
Oh, George Gregory is white as snow.
White as snow. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. The only thing he was ministering was that dick white. Penis and don't tell her appearing live on the strip. White, let these hands of God heal your white. How did that PD is my, in my mouth white? How did that get in my mouth? With his story white, following Trump's example, assuming lies will be believed white. I have sinned against you white. The correct answer is white. What kind of counseling are you giving somebody in I feel so bad for a stupid ass wife. You know? Oh, babe, you know I had to counsel that man in the dark in my car down a dead end street, with the lights off and no clothes and him tied up all greasy and shit. That's the only way Jesus can get him, you know? It's a special type of healing that I provide. And I swear on a stack of Bibles, I didn't touch him not once. By the time the cops got there, I had my clothes back on. I mean, I was always fully clothed. I mean, what did I just say? Oh, man. Terrible, terrible, terrible. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is a rare 2 for 2.
Woo-hoo!
Will she finish 3 for 3?
I hope so.
Let's find out, guys. A lot of pressure. A longtime teacher at an Orlando Christian day school has been taken into custody and charged with child abuse for allegedly stomping on a 5-year-old under her care.
What?
Because he failed to speak with Jesus during a time out for acting up.
He's 5.
All the more reason. A child shall lead them, I always say. According to the Miami Herald, Kingsway Christian Academy teacher Diane Williams has been charged with child abuse and released from Orange County Jail on a $1,000 bond after being taken into custody last week. The arrest report notes that another teacher at Kingsway noticed a bruise on the foot of the five-year-old, and they asked what happened, only to be told that he had been sent to Williams to go sit on the bench and talk to Jesus in an isolated private prayer room for misbehavior. He explained that he never saw Jesus, which infuriated Williams. When Williams entered the room a few minutes later,
I never saw him either, baby. Don't feel bad.
When Williams entered the room a few minutes later, the teacher stomped on the student's foot, leaving a bruise. I guess after that, he saw him. I see him. I see Jesus. He right there. Please don't hit me again. According to police, surveillance video taken at school completely corroborated the student's version of the stomping event. A statement to the parents at the school said Williams had been let go, while also praising her years of service to the school. Okay, I mean, that, to me, the way I view it, I feel like that kind of stomps out, no pun intended, but that kind of stomps out the good work that she did, stepping on a kid's foot. Who knows how many more kids didn't see Jesus and
she done fucked them kids up.
They see him now. We love our children. They're precious to us and precious to God. Miss Williams is an amazing teacher and loved by her hundreds of students from over the years, their parents and grandparents. The report notes that Williams also is under investigation by the Department of Children and Family. Guess the race, Karen.
White.
All right. Diane Williams, chat room. Let's see what y'all think. Plays Kirk Franklin, stomp. I'ma stomp the demon out your white. Aww. Pinching ass mothers of the church, black. Feet of bronze, hair of wool, black. Don't blame the baby. Mike Pence had Jesus all tied up in the field. Miss Doubtfire was very angry. White, 53% and white. The correct answer is, and the vast majority of you missed it, she's black.
Aww.
Some of you did get it right. Come on, guys.
He sure is black.
Corporal punishment, seeing Jesus. How'd you miss that one? That's a gimme. I tell you, I just never know what you guys.
That name.
Diane Williams, that's what y'all was going by. Ain't no black Diane's. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie, and if you disagree, I will stomp on your motherfucking foot. 5-year-old. That's a lot of pressure. You go in the prayer room.
A lot of pressure. Especially you 5. You're stressing them babies out.
She ain't gotta hit me but once. She hit me, I'm be in there like, listen, I see Jesus.
Everywhere I go.
I see all of his disciples. I seen Mary. God was in there. Holy Spirit was talking. I seen it all. The devil, Job. Judas, everybody was in there. Everybody was in there.
Everybody.
Just please stop hitting me. I seen it all. I speak in, but stop it all. All that shit. Just please keep your motherfucking hands off me. Okay, this is not right. This is not okay.
It's not okay.
All right, sore ratchetness. A bodybuilder who used a samurai sword to sever part of a man's hand has been jailed for 4 years. Thug Darren Selby, is that his first name, Thug, or y'all just being mean, has had previous convictions for violence, including robbery. He was told he will also have to serve another year on a license when he is released. Judge James O'Mahony, damn, can you get a little more Irish on that? What the fuck, y'all? Was out of everything. O'Mahony, hey, I've never even heard that one before. Said the injuries to victim Carl Lashley were quite rightly described as devastating. The complainant's arm was nearly 7-2. That strike with the sword went through the flesh and the bone, and his hand was hanging by a piece of skin. The violent incident happened in Charles Street, Hearns Bay, in June last year, during a row between the two men. The judge added, this was as bad an injury on a still living man that this court has seen in years. And after the incident, you ran away. Like a bitch, he added. A jury, that'd be funny if he did. A jury of Canterbury Crown Court is acquitted Shelby 42 of no fixed address of wounding with intent, but convicted him of a lesser charge of unlawful wounding and possessing the sword illegally. At a earlier hearing, the judge said that it had become fashionable for people to own large samurai swords, but in the wrong hands, they could be lethal. Come on, judge.
Oh shit.
He added that Mr. Lashley, who was the son of Selby's ex-lover, not receiving immediate medical help could have bled to death, but he didn't. Doctors at hospitals in Ashford and East Greenstead had battled for 17 hours to try to reconstruct the 27-year-old boy Roofer's hand.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he won't ever work in the trade in which he loved. During the trial, the jury was shown photographs of the unpleasant, gruesome injury taken at the time. Oh God, I would not want to be on that jury.
Mm-mm.
Like some Walking Dead shit. During the trial, the jury was shown photographs that the prosecutor Vivian Walters told how Mr. Lashley shouted at Selby, look what you have done, before collapsing in agony. I would say that too if you cut my arm up.
Come on.
This was my jacking hand. Oh, I'm passing out. After hiding the weapon in a cellar, Selby then fled to London and was arrested 2 weeks later in Ashford, where he was found hiding in a cupboard. The cupboard? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was he getting high off the raid in the cupboard?
Him and Mother Hubbard. The judge told him he ruled that Selby was dangerous in the legal sense, adding, you resort to violence all too easily when you could deal with matters in another way. He revealed that even when Selby was interviewed by a probation officer prior to sentencing, he began throwing furniture around the room. Yeah, lock him up forever, throw away the key.
Come on.
What good can he do? All right, guys, that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy Black Lightning tonight. Tomorrow we'll do our Walking Dead recap.
Yes, yes.
The best Walking Dead recap in the world.
Yes.
Yes, I said it. I'm calling it. Okay, we the only last two people that still like the show, so I'm claiming it. Also this week, I will be on Podcast Fandom, recapping Black Lightning over there. So you guys get to hear my Black Lightning, thoughts. Okay, guys?
Yes.
All right. Karen has something to say. Okay. Go ahead, Karen.
Yes. And also, the recording that I did with D-Pom is actually out now.
Yeah. It's called Dope Talk, right?
Mm-hmm. On the MTR Network.
Yep. So there you go. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Oh wait, hold up. I'm sorry. This Too Much is out too. Forgot to mention that. Me and Bossy recorded This Too Much this morning. I do a lot. Okay.
Right?
A lot of work around here.
Everyone's on his Sandy Check episode 600. That's out too.
Lot. The grind.
We out there, y'all.
All right, now, until tomorrow.
No more announcements.
No more announcements.
All
right. Balls Deep is tomorrow, and so is pregame. So, all right, now I think that's everything. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.